Oh my God, you're like listening to G'day World with Cameron Riley on the podcast network. Whatever.
G'day World, you're listening to the podcast network. I'm Cameron Riley. My guest today is American director Nanette Burstein, who's got a film that's out at the moment. Well, it came out in the US 5 or 6 months ago. It's coming out in Australia on November 27th. It's called American Teen. It's a documentary set in a high school in Indiana, the Warsaw Community High School in Warsaw, Indiana. And it basically follows around five seniors in this high school in their last year of high school and looks at some of the highlights and lowlights of their year, going through the pressures of finishing high school, trying to get into university or trying to figure out what they want to do with their life, plus the usual pressures of boyfriends and girlfriends and all, you know, peer group pressure and that kind of stuff. I saw this a few months ago at a private screening that Paramount put on up in Sydney, and I really enjoyed it. I was looking forward to it based on the trailer, and I thoroughly enjoyed the film. Now, the film did get a little bit of criticism when it came out, and I talked to Nanette about this in the interview because a lot of people felt that it had a feeling anyway that it was scripted, because there's some very neat storylines and it almost seems like it's crafted around three acts. But I actually, you know, after I got out of the cinema, I looked it up on Wikipedia and just to see if I'd been had. I thought for a while it might have been a mockumentary. It was so neat in the way the storylines concluded. But no, it's just a result, as Nanette tells me in the interview, of her going through thousands and thousands of hours of footage and crafting an entertaining and compelling and enjoyable storyline. Now, Nanette Burstein, I mentioned briefly in the interview as well, she was also involved in another terrific documentary from a few years ago called The Kid Stays in the Picture. Now, if you've never seen that, I highly recommend that as well. I remember seeing it years ago. It's based on the book, the autobiography of a guy called Robert Evans, who was the head of Paramount Pictures in the 70s and is most famous for having some pretty big fights with Francis Ford Coppola over The Godfather. Evans took a fair amount of credit for the first Godfather film, the success of the film. And Coppola was so angered by that. Coppola talks about him a lot too in the extras on the Godfather DVD packs. Coppola banned Robert Evans from the set of the Godfather Part Two. But it was a terrific documentary, not just because of the subject matter, but because of the production style. I recall really being impressed with it at the time. It uses a lot of archival stills, but animates them so they're always moving across the screen and, you know, fading in and fading out. And it was a terrific way of telling a visual story built on a lot of audio recordings. I think a lot of the soundtrack to the film was Robert Evans' audio book, and they created a really impressive visual addition to that. Anyway, this film is very different. It's a typical documentary. She went in and shot thousands of hours of footage of these kids and edited it all together. One of the interesting things about the film is the characters that she chose are very reminiscent to John Hughes' 1985 film, The Breakfast Club. She's got sort of a couple of jocks. She's got the shy geek guy. She's got the shy sort of geeky, hip, cool girl who's sort of a little bit goth and withdrawn. And then she's got the sort of the bitchy girl who you start off hating because she's this rich bitch, but then you realize that she's actually got a heart in there somewhere else. So this is kind of the real-life documentary version of The Breakfast Club, I think, in many ways. And if you enjoyed that film, you'll probably enjoy this film for all the same reasons. As I said, check it out. It's been and gone, I think, in the US cinemas, and I don't think it's out on DVD yet, but you'll be able to keep an eye out for that. And it opens in Australia in about a week, around about November 27th. So here's my interview with the director of American Teen, Nanette Burstein. Hello, Cameron speaking.
Hi, Cameron. I have Nanette Burstein. One moment.
Thank you.
Nanette, you're connected with Cameron Riley.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Nanette. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Let me start off by saying that you are one of my favorite documentary makers. I really loved The Kid Stays in the Picture, the adaptation you did of Robert Evans' autobiography, which was a fantastic book and an even a better documentary, I thought. It was quite outstanding from a production point of view, if nothing else.
Oh, thank you.
And I absolutely loved American Teen. I wasn't quite sure what to expect going into it, but I found it absolutely fascinating. So I wanted to start off by letting you know that I'm a fan.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Now, I've read a bit about the background of making it. I believe that you spent 10 months with these kids filming 1,000 hours of footage and then spent another year editing it. Does that sound right?
That is correct.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, what were you trying to achieve with American Teen?
Well, you know, I was trying to thematically explore the whole issue of identity at that age and how, you know, in high school, especially towards the end, you're really starting to figure out who you are, but you have this public persona because you're terrified of what your peers actually think of you. And then your parents are putting all this pressure on you to be a certain way, especially regarding your future. So I think that sort of battle of identity continues to haunt you in years to come. And so I guess I was looking back at that age to really explore it for myself. And, of course, I wanted to also find compelling stories that people could really relate to and care about the characters, the subjects, and find real people that, you know, seemed very much like the way they're presented in high school, where to their peers they seem one way on the surface, but in fact as we get to know them in the audience, we find out that they're far more complicated than that.
And I think that was one of the things I enjoyed most about the film. There were some characters like Megan, the bitch,
right,
of the school, I guess, for most of the film. And then you learn later on in the film some of the personal tragedy that she's been through, and it puts her persona a little bit into perspective, and all of a sudden you go from despising her to feeling sorry for her, actually.
Exactly.
So tell me how you settled on this school, the Warsaw Community High School in Warsaw, Indiana. I believe that you interviewed students at quite a few schools before you settled on Warsaw. What made you choose those particular kids at that particular school?
Well, the school was really chosen by the kids that I found there. I mean, I definitely was concentrating on schools that would, A, give me the access and that were in towns that were economically mixed you know, only had one high school in that town so that you'd feel more of the social pressure. You know, so I found 10 schools that kind of fit that mold that would give me the access that I needed. And, you know, I knew I would end up in whatever short movie I found in this to accomplish something that I'm very passionate about, and I would have a line to follow. And as I was saying earlier, they all had these complicated selves. You know, they seemed like the cookie cutter of a certain kind of social group or what you see in fiction films, but they were far more complicated than that.
Hmm. I mean, those particular kids, obviously there was the range of different sorts of backgrounds and characters. After you spend 10 months filming their everyday lives, how do you not become emotionally involved in their story?
Well, you do become emotionally involved in their stories. I did, and, you know, you end up, you know, to get that kind of intimacy on camera, you know, the other thing is that I pick people that I really like because I'm going to be spending a lot of time with them and I want the audience to like them. So if I don't like them, the audience isn't going to like them. And if I don't like them, I'm never going to form a true friendship with them, and then they're never going to feel comfortable exposing themselves on camera and that whole trust that builds. So I do get involved. Now, that doesn't mean that they listen to my advice, because at the end of the day, they're still teenagers and they're very stubborn and they, you know, have to experience things for themselves. So even though I would get involved and try to offer my advice and help, you know, they're still going to do what they're going to do. So it's a mixture of, you know, allowing moments to happen, but then still getting involved when the camera's not rolling.
And if you get that emotionally involved then with these kids, and I find it difficult to believe that you could like Hannah and Megan equally when you first met them, but, you know, I'll take that at face value. When you're getting emotionally involved with your subjects, how does that affect your role as documentarian?
Well, I mean, you know, documentaries are biased. I think they are subjective, and you do have a point of view. And I like to make films where I care about the people. You know, you know, Robert Evans. You could do a film about him where you showed him to be an incredibly dislikable man, or you could find what it is that you admire about him. And I pick people that it's what I admire about them. So I think it's okay to build that kind of relationship because not only do I think it's okay for me as a filmmaker, my process, I find it necessary because I do feel that I have to gain people's trust, and I don't want to fake that. I don't want to, you know, pretend I'm friends with them and I'm not. So I think that gives them the comfort factor of being so intimate on camera.
And when
you still try to remain objective and understand who they are and their complications. But at the end of the day, you know, I want to pick people that you root for and find what it is that, you know, is empathetic in humanity, even if it's flawed.
Is it difficult, though, if you're building these friendships with your subjects, not to try and nudge them in a particular direction when you know you're going to be putting their life up on the screen for the world to see?
Well, I think if they did something, you know, I've never been in a situation where they've done something truly horrible that, you know, I mean, Megan definitely had some questionable behavior, but before I finished the film, I showed it to her and made sure she was okay with it because at the end of the day, it's not worth ruining someone's life over a film, especially when they're that young. And she was okay with it. And I don't know what I would have done if she hadn't been. We would have got to figure something out. But I think, you know, she saw, like, yes, I was like that. And at the end of the day, you show my more vulnerable side. So I think with teenagers, you have to be very conscious of that, you know, and not doing something that's going to haunt them or hurt them.
You know, I think back to my teenage years. Hell, I think about my current years, and I can't imagine letting anybody into my life with a camera to look over my shoulder. Did you find it difficult to find students and families of students who were willing to give you that sort of access? Or is this an American thing where everyone wants to be famous?
Well, no, not everybody. I mean, people have their reasons. And those that want to be just famous for famous, just to be famous, it's usually not. They're not that interesting. I mean, they all had their motivations for doing it, you know. I mean, Hannah was motivated by the fact that she wanted to be a filmmaker, so this was like a cool experience for her to be part of the whole filmmaking process, even though she was going to be in front of the camera. And, you know, Colin wanted to be a basketball player, and perhaps this would help him and give him more exposure. And, you know, Jake was a guy who was completely ignored in high school, and suddenly people were paying attention to him, the camera crew, and I think that brought him comfort. Megan, I'm not sure why she did it as much. And, you know, I think she was most on the fence about the process than all of them for that reason. But, you know, overall, this is a very different generation than my generation or your generation. I mean, I know you're older than high school. I don't know exactly how old you are, but
we're exactly the same age.
Has grown up watching reality television. They, you know, use the internet in a way that we could have only imagined at that age, you know, with Facebook and sharing videos and YouTube and stills, and it's just a very public sharing of one's lives, and then that's how they have evolved. So I think they have a very different approach to what's public and private than we did. You know, the world is becoming a more public place, especially for the young generation.
Now, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There was there was some criticism of the film and the reviews when it came out in the US during the middle of the year about it feeling scripted or doctored. And I have to admit, it was so clean the way the story sort of resolved that as soon as I got out of the cinema, I jumped online to find out if I'd been had. And this was some sort of a pseudo-documentary, Spinal Tap style, and was relieved to find out that it wasn't. But I mean, how did that feel for you to have created this look into these kids' lives, only to have it criticized as feeling scripted? Did that concern you?
I was, you know, upset by that because it wasn't scripted, and you know, I couldn't have predicted how their lives were going to end, and certainly had no control over, you know, Colin turning around and winning his basketball game, or Hannah, you know, deciding to go to California, or Megan getting into Notre Dame. I mean, these are obviously all things well beyond my control. So I don't even know. I mean, I sort of understand where it came from because I shot so much footage that, you know, people aren't seeing all of that. They're not seeing all the incredibly boring moments I also have, and all of the, you know, 1,000 hours is going to be cut down to 90 minutes. So to them, it appears very clean. But in fact, it was built out of, you know, just thousands of raw moments. So I don't know. I felt like I was criticized for what I had actually achieved in some weird way.
Instead of it being a, you know,
upsetting.
Yeah. You know, I guess it seemed that way to me at one stage because it seemed to have a clean three acts. You had these kids and what they were going to achieve, and then you had them struggling to achieve it, and then not wanting to ruin it for people who haven't seen it, but it all sort of comes good for them in the end, and it was very clean. But I guess that is probably tantamount to your abilities as an editor and a filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I picked people that all had something that they had to accomplish. You know, the only thing I couldn't have predicted was how it was going to end, if it was going to be happy or sad, and I would have been fine either way. I mean, that wasn't the point. It was more about, you know, them trying to achieve these things that they felt defined their lives. And just as luck or fate had it, you know, they sort of all ended up in a good place at the end. But I think that, you know, in choosing these people, you know, I chose, as I said, people that really needed to accomplish something, so there would be a strong storyline. So I was casting just as much for the story as the person.
What did you
learn? I'm sorry to interrupt. You have time for one more question.
Okay, thanks. What did you learn through the process of making the film, Nanette?
Well, I learned a lot about myself from my own high school years because you're always seeing it through the prism of the past, and you know, a lot of things were I much better understood about myself and what people go through at that age that continues to follow them. I learned how timeless that experience is. You know, I think a lot hasn't changed. But I think also technology has changed it and made it more intense and more vicious and more confusing for teenagers. Not really sure as adults what we can do about it. I don't have the answers to it, but it is something that I think we should all be aware of and how this technology is affecting their lives.
Well, thanks for chatting to us, and I genuinely enjoyed the film. I came out of it with a big smile on my face and feeling good.
All
right, well, thank you. Okay, thanks very much, folks.
Thank you.